Maybe we could all move up if there's space. Like, there's a couple of pieces in here and over there. Alright, so how today is going to work is, so we just finished the winter training, and everybody who didn't get to go to live training should already be done with the video training as well. So we'll first open up to share for that, to prophesy on that, and then because we didn't get a chance to go over week two on Ephesus, we'll give a brief word on that, and then we'll also open up to sharing on that if you would like to share on that. And then we'll get into this week's portion, week three. So, I don't know, from the Lord's table, I think there is definitely, just through the enjoyment and the worship and the praise of the Lord and the Father, I can definitely tell that we enjoyed the winter training. So I think we should definitely, if you enjoyed something, stand up and share.
Ezekiel chapter 1 is the deepest chapter in the Bible.
Amen.
And in Ezekiel chapter 1, we see, I'll just cut to the chase, we see a man, well, we have a vision of someone else to share about the wind, the fire, the electron. I want to share about the sky, the expanding sky, the stable expanding sky with the throne above. On the throne is the throne of God's administration. So the one on the throne is certainly God himself. And yet, he has the appearance of a man. He has the appearance of a man. If you would, like John, he heard a voice and he turned. Let's just say we turn and you see the throne. You would see a man. You would see a man. This is deep.
Amen.
This is the depths of the Bible. So, and not only this, not only do you see, so he's not just a man. He's a God man. That's God's throne. So on the throne is God. And the proof is there's a rainbow around the throne. So this is, he's a God. He has the appearance of a man.
Amen.
He has the appearance of a man.
Amen.
God has the appearance of a man.
Amen.
So this means this is, he has the appearance of a man.
Amen.
So he administers. So, and then not only this, on the earth. So the throne, the one on the throne is connected to the earth.
Amen.
There are four living creatures.
Amen.
They have the appearance of a man.
Amen.
They have the appearance of a man.
Amen.
But listen to this. When they move their wings, out of their wings is the voice of the great waters, of the Almighty God.
Amen.
So there, they match the one on the throne.
Amen.
There's a man on the throne.
Amen.
There's a God man.
Amen.
And on the earth, there's one that has the appearance of a man.
Amen.
And his voice is the Almighty God.
Amen.
I enjoy the message of eating the scroll. By eating the scroll, it's eating the words of God. We can receive Him into our whole being. So eating the God's words is not like an occasional thing, not like we only rely on meetings like once or twice a week, even three times a week. It's not enough. Like eating our meal, we have to eat three meals a day. So we have to be have the habit to eat God's words regularly to be our nutrition, be our food, be our nourishment. So by eating God's words regularly, we can maintain our normal Christian life. I have experience of this. Last year, 2016, I read the Bible in English for the whole New Testament and one third of the Old Testament.
Amen.
Each morning, like one chapter of New Testament and one chapter of Old Testament, and also one morning revival. By doing this, I can feel, God's word become my nutrition, become my, food. So each day I can rely on this, support. And also by experience the God's word, you can change the locus to a rhythm. So it's gonna be your, instant supply and help. So I'm really, enjoy like this message. We need to read God's words. Maybe not understand everything, but we have to come to God's words regularly.
Amen.
Be our food. Be our support.
Amen. I think I really appreciated Ezekiel chapter 1, how this is the deepest chapter in the Bible, and that there was a brother who told me, Ezekiel chapter 1 is so deep, they crystallized 12 messages into 9. So that's crazy. It's like almost everything is a crystal. Well, everything is a crystal. But I really like the way Brother Mark put it when he shared on the message on eating the scroll. That so we just talked about the rainbow city, about the New Jerusalem, and then now we're going to something. Why are we going to something so basic that we've heard like millions of times about like eating the word? And because actually this is the way God gets this rainbow city, right? This is by eating, this is the way that God carries out his economy, the way that God dispenses himself into us. So I just freshly appreciate that, we need to eat.
Amen.
And that for some reason, I don't know, I never connected God's economy with eating, but it like seems so obvious. It's like right in front of you, but wow, it's just, we need to eat the word of God.
Yeah.
And when we come to the word, we, sometimes, we don't have to try too hard to understand, we come to the word and we just, we get the juice out of it, or we get the life supply.
Yes.
And like this is the way that we can be nourished and grow in the Lord.
Amen. I love that the word is food to us. I don't know, when I again, just to that whole message was like brand new to me.
Yeah.
And I really felt, wow, to see God's word being food again in a fresh new way was so enlightening, so invigorating, and so refreshing to me. And I think even for this new year, I just realized when I go to God's word, it's food to me. And so actually with what Eric shared, eating and digesting the word, it's quite astounding. Ezekiel was, so we have Ezekiel, and he was someone who sought the Lord. He was seeking. He contacted the Lord. He was one with the Lord. He had a heart which was a duplication of the Lord's heart.
Right.
But he was also one who ate the scroll. He ate the scroll, and so. Anyway, eating really accomplishes all these matters that we see in Ezekiel. So,
Amen.
So actually being in Ezekiel is one who eats and digests the word of God. And actually, we see in message, when we see that there is a man on the throne, what Brother Tom shared, and who has an appearance like a man, actually, our destiny, we see in that message, our destiny is to be on the throne with this man. Our destiny is to be on the throne. Actually, Satan fights against this. He's okay with God being on the throne. But when there's a man on the throne, then there's the battle. And actually, our destiny is to be on that throne. Well, how do we be on the throne? It's eating. We saw this. We see this. That eating brings us to be, actually fulfills our human destiny to be on the throne with him.
Amen.
And eating actually makes us the rainbow city. And what's the rainbow city? We know in Revelation, this is the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
When we eat the scroll and we eat and digest the word, we become rainbow.
Amen.
We become all the divine attributes infused into us and expressed through us as the human and as the human virtues.
Amen.
Anyway, I just appreciate eating is something we all can do, we all need to do, and for this year we need to keep eating.
Amen.
And I appreciate just some practical things when we eat. Well, we don't, when we read through the Bible, we should read through the Bible. And then when we read through the Bible, we don't need to understand everything, actually, he shared. And actually, for the things we do understand, we should nibble at it. We should chew it. We should masticate it. We should get it into us. And so, we should have a Bible reading this year, and as we read through it, we shouldn't, alright, if I don't understand this, just keep reading. Just keep reading. Don't stop. Actually, that's a trap from the enemy, if we get locked in, like, I don't understand this, I need to reread this. No, no, no. Just keep reading. And what you do understand, you just take in and absorb and let it become a part of you. Anyway, there's so many things this is just a foretaste. Anyway, so,
amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We need to keep eating. Praise the Lord. So those recovery is the recovery of eating Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And for us to visit this Ezekiel, the way actually is very practical and very simple. It's eat, digest, and assimilate Christ.
Amen.
And really appreciate the matter. We not only need to eat Christ, but we also need to assimilate and digest the Word of God.
Amen.
And in Ezekiel 3, chapter 3:3, and he said to me, son of man, fill your stomach and fill your inward parts with this scroll, and I am giving you. We see that Ezekiel not only eat God's word, he also assimilates and digest what's God's word.
Yes.
That means Ezekiel allow God's word to walk in him. So this is really, a really outrageous matter that many times I just come to the word, but I don't allow the word to work in me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't muse upon the word.
Mm-hmm.
But Ezekiel is such a person. He allow this word to operate in him.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So May 2017, we all keep eating and digesting the word of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So when reading this week's morning revival, I couldn't help but the Lord kept reminding me of message 11, of shepherding. You know, there's the suffering church here, right, in Smyrna, which when you're suffering, you need lots and lots of care. And same with in message 11, we you know, Brother Ron shared a lot about the shepherding of the saints. And I was very touched and very convicted. Brother Ron's sharing about, you know, the shepherding that we do is not the shepherding according to how we think. It's actually the shepherding according to God. As many of you know, I'm a very strict person. You know, I like things a certain way. And I was sharing with Carolyn on my ride home and just saying, oh man, I was a little convicted. And she's like, yeah, you should be. And she, you know, she just said, when you shepherd, she's like, yeah, you're very rigid and you think that you're shepherding, you should be this way or that way. But really, and she was saying that both of us, we need to do a better job of really just coming to the Lord and Lord, you know, how should we shepherd this person and this person? Because every person is complicated. Here in the outline it says, because our soul is very complicated, we need Christ, who is the life-giving spirit, in our spirit to shepherd us, in our soul, in order to take care of our mind, our emotion, and will, and our problem needs and wounds. So I was just reminded, you know, this week's Morning Bible connected to Ezekiel, is that You know, when we pray that the Lord would give us this resurrection life, it shouldn't be just for us, but actually this resurrection life and our experiences that we're going through should actually be for the shepherding of the saints. You know, this is a benefit to the church. You know, we go through death situations, and we go through hard times, and we receive this resurrection life, but ultimately it's so that the resurrection life can be dispensed through to the others and for the benefit of the church.
So what impressed me, I think, is to see that throughout Ezekiel, especially in the first chapter, you have the sense or the realization that everything is very orderly. In other words, one follows the other. And you need to kind of consider each aspect of the vision that was revealed. You know, eventually we see, like many have shared, that Ezekiel 1 is the deepest chapter in the entire Bible. And that's because Ezekiel 1:26 actually fulfills Genesis 1:26. That's amazing.
Yeah.
But to get to that point, you need to see that there's an order. One follows the other. And I was impressed. If you kind of trace all the way back, you know, before the great, high, awesome wheels, you have the four living creatures. Before you get that, you need to have a man who has gone through the process of the wind, the cloud, the fire, the electrum. But even before that, you need to have what? You need to have a certain person. You need to have Ezekiel. If there's no Ezekiel, there's no vision. There's no vision. There's no four living creatures. There's no, you know, wheels. There's no vision of man on the throne. So what is in Ezekiel? Ezekiel is a priest. And a priest who was among God's people. But you have to consider that the background, the backdrop of the story is that God's people were in captivity. And Ezekiel wasn't in the temple when he received his vision. He was actually by this river, Shabar. And actually, there's a lot of significance. But what impressed me was that the heavens open for this person. And so we need to be those who have our heavens open in order to see a vision from God. You know, we left the messages on Exodus realizing that we're all priests. We're here to serve God. But the most important thing for one who serves God is to have visions.
Amen.
And in order to have visions, we need to have our heavens open.
Amen.
That means we need to turn to God. We need to deal with the idols in our heart. We need to deal with the conscience in our spirit. We need to have no distance between us and God.
Amen.
So that the heavens can be clear, can be open, so that we can see visions of God.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. So what I really like is the image of the four creatures. But, what they encapsulate is such a direct antithesis of like everything that like is really prominent and like glorified and celebrated today. So like how do I explain? So like it seems I'm sure you all know, like, you go out and, like, pretty much everything is telling you to kind of, like, love yourself, like, focus on yourself. It's a huge emphasis on, like, individualism and all this other kind of stuff. But, like, you know, like there's a very huge absence of God because the world as a whole is no longer focused on God. And that's just kind of the way it is. But, like, we know that these things are just kind of, like, how Satan gets us to, like, be distracted and just kind of, like, eventually die, because like if we only focus on ourselves, that leads us to nothing but death. But the four creatures and what they express is like the face of a lion. It's like, you know, that like face of a lion makes us bold against sin. Because like when the people say they want to be against sin, it's like they don't have it's hard to say because sin is so prominent and popular, and like you don't want to be the odd man out, but like, no, I'm a lion against sin. I am bold saying that like I don't want to be focused on nothing but myself. I live for something greater than just myself. Because in the end, I'm just one person. I mean nothing in this grand scheme of things, but because I have the Lord, I'm going to live forever.
Amen.
But in the same respect, I'm also an ox, because I'm willing to put in the labor. It's also telling us to focus on fun, focus on the now, focus on all these things that don't really matter in the end. But no, I'm willing to put in the labor to know God and to work on myself so that there's something that comes out of my own existence that wasn't just for the sake of the moment and the joy. But in the same respect, at the end, I'm an eagle, because you know, I don't pity myself, and I like an eagle, I'm able to soar above both my pain, but also my praise. Like, I don't get so caught up in myself and how proud I am that I'm able to reject my love of myself that the world wants me to love, and all the other things. But I'm also able to reject the any kind of hatred that would be pitted against me because I'm trying to do these things. So.
So, last call for semi-annual sharing.
I appreciate the picture of the four living creatures. There are wings like an eagle, hands like a man, the appearance of the four living creatures, wings like an eagle, hands of a man, and hoofs like calves, right? And I really appreciate it, the hands of a man, which signifies that although the four living creatures is very spiritual, also very human. And so, if I'm saying here, that no matter how much the grace of God is with us, and no matter how much the Lord is empowering us, we must nevertheless do things in a human way. And the brother brought out here in this message that actually, if you consider the spirit of Jesus, it's not primarily Christ in his divinity, but it's Christ in his humanity, right? Because in John 7, we see that the spirit of Jesus was not yet because Jesus had not yet been glorified.
Right.
And I just really appreciate it because I went and I was reading a little bit from where he quoted, and it was just saying, you know, when we drink of the spirit of Jesus, we're drinking of the humanity of Jesus, right?
Amen.
And the more we drink of the spirit, the more spiritual we become, but actually the appearance of that is the more human we become. And so I was just very touched because that means in everything that we do, you know, humanly, being a mother or being a student, we have to be both divine yet human, right? There must be the uplifted humanity of Christ lived out. And this is the divine attributes expressed in the human virtues. And I just appreciate it. That's one of the appearances of the four living creatures, right? But going back to the wings, I also appreciate there was a description of how the eagles, they don't flap their wings, they soar because they wait for the thermal winds, right? And so they know how to be patient and they're waiting. And then when the warm air comes, then they just lift out, they stretch out their wings, and then they just soar above everything else, right? And so that signifies we need to learn how to wait on Jehovah to experience the grace of God. So that, I just really appreciate, we need to learn to wait on Jehovah, to soar, you know, experience the resurrection power and the grace of God, and then we have the appearance, you know, then we're so human, yet we're so divine, right?
Yeah.
And then the hooks, that's really good too, but I think about it.
I was touched by the matter of eating and digesting the Word of God, and especially the part on using on the Word. And I was really touched by what the brother said about how every few verses that you read in the Bible, you should pray over them. And I was really touched by this point because sometimes when I read the Bible, I feel like I'm just going through and just reading everything and not really taking anything in. And he was saying how like prayer helps you digest the word and to be assimilated by the word of God. And I was also touched by the matter of advancing in our eating. And this matter really touched me because I feel like every time I go to the word, I really like to read like specific like chapters and books in the Bible that I feel like I can understand. And like books like Kings and like Exodus, Leviticus, books that are harder to understand, I don't really read over as much. And I was just touched that we really need to advance in the word. And that every word in the Bible is something that God wants us to hear and know. And so I was really touched that we all need to advance. Amen.
I really enjoyed the four living creatures. So, kind of like what they touched on before, the four living creatures had four faces. It had the face of a man, the face of an ox, the face of an eagle, and the face of a lion. And so, but before this, actually, we talked about what the brother had touched on before, which was the experience, the wind, the cloud, the fire, and the electrum. And so you see that in Ezekiel, there is a north wind that blows upon them. This is the spirit of God that makes you kind of restless and unsatisfied with your spiritual condition. And it's actually a normal Christian life involves a continuous cycle of experiencing these four things. So you have the wind blowing that makes you unsatisfied, and then you have the cloud, which is God coming as grace overshadowing us. And then you have the fire, which is him burning within us and burning away everything else, until finally you just have the glowing electron, which is just God himself expressed. So in our Christian life, we should have this continuous cycle of these four things until we're brought to become these four living creatures. And even these four living creatures, individually in all of us, but then also corporate, until we gain this one expression of just God himself. And even these four faces, I was really touched that it was just both humanity and divinity, and that we're very Jesusly human. And I think throughout the training, I was so impressed that we have to be so human, not just the lion and not just the eagle soaring, but we're really laboring as an ox, and we're just a normal human being. Amen. The more spiritual we are, the more human we are.
Amen.
The more Jesus the human we are. And I think that's really a testimony of the Lord himself, right? Because like in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? That's the Lord in all four of those expressions. So anyway, praise the Lord for that. Anyway, there's just so much to enjoy, but we can just eat the Lord and experience him in these four ways, in this cycle of the four things.
And then finally, just be a person. Amen. This is for women, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't really get into the message, but when Brother Anna said that there's a book that called God Who Hid Himself. And I read that book, so enjoyable. And I recommend everybody to read it. The way in that book, I really identified with my experience is, whenever you're so sure that you have the presence of God, maybe God is not there. But every time you feel like you doubted him, you are in the weakest point of your spiritual life, you will guarantee that he will be there. At the beginning, the brother said, you know, God created the whole universe, the earth and the sky. But God hid himself inside all this creation, so that in your eye, you cannot see him. But you know that there must be someone created. And that's the way God, you know, this, I don't know if it's a principle or what, but this is the way God likes to be, you know, express himself. And then he also, in another second part, he said about, now when God came as a man, he was hidden in the Son of Man as Jesus. And if you look at Jesus, there's nothing glorified. And he was like, nobody can recognize him.
Yeah.
And everybody, at the beginning, they all doubt him. No way they can believe this is what God said to us. And this is what God expressed himself again. He hid himself in this Jesus. And I was thinking, I'm sorry, but this book is so good. But I'm saying, you know, if I fall in that age, I probably don't believe Jesus either. Because outwardly, he probably looked worse among us. Because, you know, he probably 30, but he looked like 50, probably. Alright? So, what brothers say is, sometimes our eyes fool us easily. Sometimes our ears never want to hear his voice. But the story is, when there's two disciples, remember, when Jesus walked with them, you know, and then he was talking with them, none of them recognized him. And that's why God presented himself, you know, as when you are in the weakest, in the doubtful, he surely be there with you. And if you are so sure you have God's presence, and you are so sure that, oh, God is with us, you need to be careful, God might not be there with you. It's just the way God behaved, you know, God behaved himself. So that book is really, really good, you know, telling you, you know, when you feel you doubt him, God will be there with us. You know, when you feel you are so sure, please be not so sure about yourself, you know. So I really enjoy that book because in my experience, I also experienced the same thing, that every time I feel like I doubted him so much, I feel like God's presence is there with me. But every time I feel like, you know, I'm so strong, I feel like there's some emptiness within me. You know, so that book is so enjoyable. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Absolute final call for winter training. All right. Honestly, after, you know, going through the messages in this book, I've realized how closely related it is to actual winter training. So you feel free to share about winter training throughout this entire time. But I'm going to go over week two. You know, we had a chance to go through it last week. But week two, we talk about the church in Ephesus. And, you know, within Revelations 2 and 3, you're talking about the seven lampstands. You know, going through the seven epistles and then basically the history of the church. But what I realized throughout this entire time, this is actually basically the foundation. These seven churches, like the seven lampstands, are almost the seven steps that we need to basically understand before we can actually see the revelation in Revelation 4 regarding the four faces, the four living creatures. And so, you know, as the brothers were sharing before, you know, Ezekiel was a priest. And in order to be a priest to see the vision, you know, this is the basic foundation that we needed. And in the church of Ephesus, I'm just going to read the verses for you, this overview. But one thing I have against you, that you have left your first love. Revelation 2:2. I know your works and your labors and your endurances. 4-5, but I have one thing against you, that you have left your first love. Remember therefore where you have fallen from, and repent and do the first works. Basically, overall, you know, there's in Revelations regarding Ephesus, there are four major things that the Lord wanted us to know. It's about Jesus' love, life, light, and the lampstand. I don't know. The more I was reading this, the more I was kind of condemned, and the more a little bit of light was shining. But see, we need to realize the first thing that is needed is that we need to love the Lord. And to have the first love for the Lord, you know, isn't meaning that, oh, you know, saying, Lord, I love you, Lord, I love you. Actually, it's giving the Lord the first place in everything. You know, I've heard it so many times growing up, like, give the Lord the first place. I was like, okay, you know, I'll give the Lord the first place in all my major decisions. Actually, it's even the small things that matters the most. It's every individual thing, you have to give the Lord the first love. And this goes through, actually, all four of these connect with one another. without the first love, you can't do the first works, and then you cannot have life. You know, since we're saying about, you know, eating and enjoying the Lord, you know, but how can you eat and enjoy the Lord if you don't even love the Lord? You don't have to give the Lord his first love.
Yeah.
Wow, Lord Jesus. To give the Lord, you know, to even love the Lord is to spend time to muse upon his word. The saints. Sometimes when we feel like I'm not getting anything out of the word, I'm not enjoying anything out of it, maybe I think that's a realization that maybe you have to go back before you give the Lord first love. You know, are you really there enjoying the Lord? For Jesus. I can't go through all this, but because you guys should be able to share about this too. But for Jesus. For Jesus. Saints, all these connect love, life, light, and lampstand. In order to be the lampstand, you need to be those who first love the Lord, and then to be those who secondly spend time to enjoy Him. And then by then, the more we spend time to enjoy Him, the more that we will appear like the saints of Jesus before. The more we will appear more humanly, Jesusly human. The more we will appear more spiritual. The more we will be a lampstand able to represent the Lord.
Amen.
For Jesus.
I really enjoy the message of the man on the throne. Amen. Today, the Lord is the first man on the throne, but he is not satisfied by himself on the throne. He wants to bring us on the throne. I want to read some words in this message. God's goal is to bring us to the throne. His desire is to make us people of the throne. God will not be satisfied until we are on the throne. We can't receive the full glory until we are brought to the throne. God's kingdom cannot come in full until we are on the throne. God's enemy will not be subdued until we are on the throne.
Amen.
God's goal is to bring us to the throne.
Amen.
Lord Jesus. Sometimes we satisfy our situation or disappoint with our situation. But all of this can't fulfill God's desire. If we can't bring to the throne, oh Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh Lord.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus. I very enjoy the sister share. Sometimes in our mind, we think the throne is far from us.
Uh-huh.
Oh Lord. But today, Lord tells us that we should be bring to the throne.
Amen.
Oh Lord. And another reason we should on the throne because the enemy should be, oh Lord Jesus, should be subdued until we are on the throne.
Right.
The Lord comes down himself. He needs creatures. He needs the man to defeat the creatures, the Satan.
Right.
So we must on the throne.
Amen.
Not because we are good. That because God is faithful.
Right.
He speaks
right.
The word, so he will do this.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, praise you.
Amen.
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 I very enjoy the morning revival too. Because we need to love the Lord first.
Mm-hmm.
But that day when God judges us, it's not depend on how much we do work, but depend on the motivation. If this work is because of love, or just because of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be very careful in serving the Lord, not only serve by ourselves, but we should serve by the love. Yeah, if there's no love, then anything is vain and empty. So we should, pray to the Lord that recover us from our first love, that's the love, and put our Lord as the evidence in our daily life.
Mm-hmm.
Not only big things, but even the small things. Yeah, maybe we should all practice in our daily life.
Yeah.
church in Ephesus, Ephesus, the word means desirable in Greek, Ephesus. And that indicates that the church in Ephesus was precious to the Lord. And we actually, when we see in Revelation chapter 2, we see that actually Ephesus was quite an extraordinary church. He was one, the Lord told to the messenger of the church in Ephesus, he said, I know your works, I know your labors, and I know your endurance, and that you cannot bear evil men, and you have tried those who call themselves apostles and are not, and have found them to be false. And you have endurance, and have borne all things because of my name, and have not grown weary. So these are quite positive characteristics. They endured, and they tried evil men, and they weren't weary, and they even, anyways, and have borne all things because of his name. But there was one thing against them I have one thing against you, that you have left your first love. And then it says, repent and do the first works. So, this is quite extraordinary, and it really has to deal with, okay, like what Brother Joe said, I mean, where's our heart? And what are we really after? And so really, I think even as we're living our lives, our human lives, and we have to take care of our human responsibilities, and we're serving in the church, we should be before the Lord in all these little matters, and seek first in my personal relationship with the Lord, just me and the Lord, nobody else, just me and the Lord. Where am I, Lord? What is still possessing me? What is still substituting you? What is still between you and me? What is still my substitute for you? And what is your replacement in me? And I think if we do this, there will be the light. If we're before the Lord personally, there will be a light. Okay, you're not my first love, but Lord, recover my first love for you. Such a prayer can do something. And anyways, so, and then we need the first love so that we can do the first works. And so they're very much related. Actually, when we love the Lord, we're fervent for the Lord, and there's nothing between us and the Lord, and he's our first love, then actually all the work and all the services and all of our living is just an issuing out of our first love for him. This is the first works.
Amen.
So, Revelation
2,
Joe mentioned love, life, light, and the testimony. So in Revelation 2:6, the Lord says, if you don't repent, remove the lampstand from your midst. So that removes the testimony. And then he said, in 2:4, he said, I have this against you. You left your first love. In Revelation 2:1, so at the beginning of every epistle, the Lord tells us who he is. He tells us who he is. And each speaks. So in Revelation 2:1, he says, I'm the one who has the messengers in my right hand. And I walk in the midst of the lampstand.
Amen.
He says, I have the messengers in my right hand, and I walk in the midst of the lampstand. So it struck me, this is quite a testimony. The messengers are testimony of the Lord. And the lampstands testify of the Lord. But this whole book is the testimony concerning the testimony of Jesus. So, and then in Revelation 2:7, it says, he who overcomes, I'll give to eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God. So this was written. The seven churches were chosen, not at random. And Ephesus was the first one that was spoken of. So this was a mature church. So this is very crucial. So this is concerning the testimony. And so we have to come. It says we need to love the Lord, and we eat the Lord, and the light. There's light within us, and there's the testimony.
What stood out to me during this week was actually hating the Nicolaitans. Because if really what that means is if we just sit every Lord's Day or we go to the trainings or all these things, these are a lot of meetings that we go to. But if we don't speak, that means we love the Nicolaitans. That means we love sitting in our seat and not saying anything and just being, quote unquote, part of the Lord's recovery. But actually, when we just sit here and don't participate in speaking our portion, then we're loving the Nicolaitans. And this will actually, if there's this action will actually bring upon the removing of the lampstand from the church. So it just kind of gave me a frightful fear that, you know, that we would be ones that would remove the lampstand. That would be such a shame if the Lord looks at the church in Piscataway and says there's no lampstand there. We meet, quote unquote, in the Lord's recovery, you know. We say we go to the semi-annuals, we come to the Lord's table. But if we just sit in our chairs and don't speak, then really what we're doing is we're loving the Nicolaitan system. And this is actually what God hates. And so we need to be ones that are willing to get into the Word, eat the scroll, you know, do participate in all these gatherings, but we need to be ones that speak forth our portion and allow Christ to dwell in us so that we can share and that we can be faithful ones loving the Lord. Because one that really loves somebody, you speak about them, you know. Again, I'll get in trouble because Nancy's going to tell Carolyn or something. Well, I love Carolyn, right? So I talk about her all the time, right? I talk about she's the best doctor, even though I won't let her ever be my doctor. But she's the best doctor, you know, she's good at this, that. It's because I love her. But the same with the Lord. We love the Lord, so we should share about Him. We should share about His Word. We should share what we've enjoyed. And this is what keeps the lampstand in the church.
The church in Ephesus, actually, like Brother Tom shows, a very mature church. The Lord has a lot of good things to say about His church. One of the things that, you know, you found in the beginning of Revelation 2 was that the main things, including, they actually hated the work of Nicodemus. So the church in Ephesus is such a church that the Lord actually commended. But there's one thing that they lack is that they lost the first love.
Right.
And so loss of first love, actually, I think from the outline, it means that, you know, as the church in Ephesus was doing all these things, they missed the Lord as their primary or preeminence.
Right.
They missed the Lord as their primary focus. And this is really a warning. It's a speaking to all of us,
yeah.
That as we, I was touched by John sharing, as we shepherd, as we be in the church life, as we have quote unquote burdens for the saints, you know, we need to constantly, again and again, go before the Lord.
Amen.
And check with the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, do I consider You the first place in my service in this aspect? Do I consider You as my first, as the preeminent one in my shepherding of this new one and in my serving in the service? And but at the end, as Joe pointed out, you know, the Lord's reward to the church in Ephesus is that they were to give and to eat, right, the tree of life. Eating, so that shows that eating the tree of life, that is, right, enjoying Christ as our life supply, should be the primary matter in the church life. Yes, we need to be reminded. Yes, we need to be checked all the time, saying that, are we really giving the Lord the first place? But on the other hand, this is not that difficult. The way is to enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
And we need to learn what it means, really, to enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
And as we really learn, like Joshua, actually, as we really learn to enjoy the Lord, if you are someone who actually enjoys the Lord, I can guarantee you, you know what it means to give the Lord the first place. Not just enjoying the Lord when you are going through some kind of good situation, but learning to enjoy the Lord, to enjoy His dispensing in any kind of environment, there's someone who will be, this is the reward that the Lord has for the church in Ephesus.
Amen.
And this is the way for them to do the first works.
Amen.
This is the way for them to recover back to the first love.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. I was listening for sharing and it was touched on them. But one thing I noticed is that why the saint left the first love in Ephesus? That will happen to us now. See, I was renewing this faith and belief in the Bible, right? Remember the case of the woman who had the blood for 15 years, and there was Jairus who had a daughter who was 12, was about to die. And the Lord said to them, to her, and she told him, you know the story. Your faith has healed you, right? Mm-hmm. But then to Jairus he said, just believe. Right? And this is what happened to us. It's our faith. When we read the Word, when we come to the Word, we've been saved by grace, by faith, by the hearing of the Word of Christ. Mm-hmm. And our faith is the objective when we read the Word. Right? That's the objective. If you believe in it, it's objective. Mm-hmm. One. So many times we read the Word only with our faith. And all Christians have faith. Even people call about, oh, I have faith, and they don't have faith. So this is one thing that we have to realize, that not only have this faith, but we must believe. We must believe. See, we might read the Word, but we have to believe what we read.
Amen.
It's not an angel or a thing, but we have to really grasp and believe what we read.
Amen.
And so we believe in John. And this is what happened with the church in Ephesus. They all have faith. They've all been saved. But they stopped believing, probably, what, you know, this love. They should have kept this belief. Like a lot of Christians don't get healed. Why many Christians you heal, some of them are healed? Because I hear a lot of cancer in many brothers, right? Mm-hmm. Why? Because the church has, the Lord hasn't changed. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and after. Now it's the same, but we have faith, but we don't believe. Right? Well, of course, we are personal because of the old man, but we must believe what we read. We must believe when I'm healed. We must believe all day long. Not only with the Word, we had to believe. That was the difference between faith and belief. One is the objective, one is subjective. Believe. And that's why the church in Ephesus lost the first love. The Nicolaitans. It's the Nicolaitans. On one side, he's right. For the other side, don't think that the Nicolaitans is over. Sometimes we are in the Nicolaitans. Sometimes we just want to be in the Nicolaitans. Sometimes we became the Nicolaitans. Amen.
Yes. I was just reading that the church at Ephesus had received the first letter, not because it was the head church, but because it possessed the characteristics of being heavenly in nature. In this church was Paul, Apollos, Aquila, Priscilla, Timothy, Tychicus, and others working in it. So it was really, really advanced in knowledge. You know, I was considering that Paul was in this church. And so everybody was very advanced in knowledge. And at the time that he wrote Ephesians, the spiritual progress was unmatched by any of the churches of the day. However, not long after them, and they went away, 30 years later, the signs of desolation had already appeared, right? And so we see that a generation had passed by, and boom, it went down, right? So this could happen to any of us. It's and they're compared here to, can a bridegroom be satisfied if a bride is faithful in all her duties but cold in love? Can a person hungry for love be satisfied by good works and diligence? Can a love as great as Christ be satisfied by cold activities and dry works that are void of a burning love? Love demands love. So we see that this was the condition of the first church, which Ephesus. But then the second church is Smyrna. And they actually loved the Lord. But in their case, they were persecuted. And they were persecuted by that time by the religious people of the time. They were the Jews. And the Jews, they persecuted the Christians, thinking that, you know, they were God's chosen people and they had the law and this and that. But God, the Lord called them the synagogue of Satan, right?
Yep.
And the Judaizers of the time are today's religious people. we see that so many things have happened criticizing the church today, the people who are really seeking the Lord. So they had people there that were giving their life for the Lord. Even there are many cases of many that have been burned for the Lord, and yet one particular one, Polycarp, that I was really impressed by, he wouldn't deny the Lord Jesus, so they burned him. So while he was being burned from the waist down, he was saying, "Oh Lord, praise you that I have the opportunity to die for you and to be a testimony for you." And so many others that are looking at the Lord Jesus, and we see that the church in Smyrna was a church in resurrection.
Amen.
It's only in resurrection, by looking at the Lord resurrected,
Amen.
Can we really be any kind of martyr.
Amen.
You know, but that we shouldn't shy away from martyrdom. So, oh Lord Jesus, I'm not like that, but I should be. We really need to take all these things that are ordained by God. It says that this church, they would suffer for 10 days, which actually means 10 periods of persecution that the church went through. But it also means that it is a short time. You know, when the Lord ordains that suffering for us, it will end.
Amen.
Even though it may seem an eternity.
Yeah.
And then after that, Satan can't do anything.
Amen.
But that we really need to suffer for the Lord.
Mm.
But for that, we need to love him.
Amen.
With the first love.
Amen.
We need to see him in resurrection.
Amen.
And we need to have our eyes fixed on him.
Amen.
Amen. Can you give me that for like 3 minutes? All right, so we'll move on to message 3. So as Sister Virginia kind of covered, it was on the church in Smyrna, and this was a church under the suffering of persecution. So I'll try to keep it super brief. So, Christ first suffered, and then now we are the ones continuing in his suffering. And the church in Smyrna suffered the slander from those who call themselves Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. And so today, this is of religious Christianity. But I really appreciated that, you know, when we read about the church in Smyrna, we usually think of us being the church in Smyrna. But actually, if we're not careful, we can actually also become the religious Christians, right? We shouldn't think that we are, like, oh, we're in the Lord's recovery, so, like, you know, we're the ones being persecuted all the time. Actually, we ourselves could be the ones persecuting others if we're not careful, and if we ourselves become religious. So, like, for example, say, like, your future kids, like, want to go to a training or something, and they really love the Lord, they really want to give their 2 years for this, but then you think, what's the point of giving up 2 years of your life? Like, you can be making all this money, you can be paying off your loans, you're going to get set back, right? This happens among us as well, right? So this could be a persecution. And so we need to be very careful that we don't become these religious ones. Anyways, I'll move on from there.
Amen.
And I really appreciate this, that the Lord said, I know your tribulation.
Yeah.
That, you know, the Lord has already suffered, so he's already gone through everything.
Right.
And he also knows that we are going through these things, right? And so when we are going through these things, we just need to realize that everything's going to be okay. You know, we just need to come to the Lord, because he's the one who has gone through through death, and he resurrected. This is the life that has passed through death and has overcome death.
Amen.
And, you know, God doesn't put us through these things because he hates us, but it's actually to test the life of the church. Right? So, you know, there's a saying that I'm just like super paraphrasing. That's like, you don't really know, you really find out what a person is like when things don't go their way, right? And so in the same way, like, you know, when everything's going smoothly, like, it's easy to praise the Lord, but like when things start to go tough, what do we do? And so this is a test. But, you know, he also puts us through these things so that we can enjoy the riches of his life.
Amen.
So the more So when we go through these things, we can't miss the Lord, right? We need to come and enjoy Him. And I can definitely testify that, I'm sure all of you can testify that, in those moments that we are really suffering, these are the times when we really have a sweet, intimate fellowship with the Lord, and we really, really experience Him. And then, of the Lord, right? He also says that He is the first and the last who became dead and lived again.
Amen.
Right? So, the Lord will outlast all of our sufferings. Right? It might, when we are suffering, it might seem that's going to last an eternity. But it will eventually end.
Amen.
And the Lord will still be there. And the Lord will be there while we're going through. If we're willing to turn to the Lord will be there with us. And I guess just one quick thing that I enjoyed that, you know, it's point five under 2C. It says, for us to be living, we must have not only life, but the life supply. As a living one, Christ cares for the churches by giving us Himself, not only as life, but also as the life supply. Right, so in We already have His life, right? But we also need to be supplied with His life, right? So in John chapter 4, the Lord reveals Himself as the living water. And then in John chapter 6, He says that He is the bread of life. So if we come to the Lord, we get this supply. We get Him as the water. We get Him as our food. And then finally, right, if we are faithful unto death, the Lord will give us the crown of life. I mean, this crown of life is the prize to those who are faithful unto death and overcoming persecution, and denotes the overcoming strength that is the power of the resurrection life. And so if we would, in our suffering experiences, if we come to the Lord, then we will have this resurrection life.
Right.
I really appreciate Romans 8:10, right? It says that if Christ is in you, though your body is dead in offenses, or something like that, your spirit is life because of righteousness. So actually, we can just, you know, I don't know, my concept was kind of like, yeah, the Lord is, like, living in us, and so, like, when we come to our spirit, we kind of, like, look for the life in our spirit, and it's, like, somewhere there. But actually, Romans 8:10 just tells us that our spirit is life, right? All, like, when the Lord resurrected, right, and He became the life-giving spirit, like, included in the spirit is that resurrection life. And so when we are regenerated, when our spirit was enlivened, our spirit became life, that resurrection life is actually just in our spirit, and, like, is our spirit, basically. Like, when we touch our spirit, we get life. So whenever we're going through any situation, we just need to turn to our spirit. We need to touch our spirit,
amen,
and we have life.
Amen.
And then, finally, sorry, I kind of went on a tangent, but the crown of life. I've really been appreciating Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 to 31. Esther kind of touched on a little bit. Right, so the eagle's wings are just signified. The eagle's wings just signify the resurrection power, right? And so in verse 40:28. It says, do you not know, or have you not heard, that the eternal God, Jehovah, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint and does not become weary? Right? And then in 29, it says, He gives power to the faint, and to those who have no vigor, He multiplies strength. And then 31 says, yet those who wait on Jehovah will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and will not become weary. They will walk and will not faint. So our God is the one who does not faint, He does not become weary. And so we have this one in our spirit now.
Amen.
And so all we have to do is to wait on Jehovah. And so the footnote here says, to wait on the eternal God means that we terminate ourselves, that we stop ourselves with our living, our doing, and our activity, and receive God in Christ as our life, our person, and our replacement. So in every situation, we just need to, you know, terminate ourselves, just forget about the situation that we are in, and then we just take God in as our life, our person, and our replacement, and then we will have these eagle's wings, and we will soar above our situation.
Amen.
So maybe we could, maybe 1 minute each. You have like about 10 minutes.
Five to ten. About three people.
Three people will share.
That our Christ is the living one.
Amen.
Just enjoy that. Enjoy Revelation 1:18. And the living one, and I became dead, and behold, I am living forever and ever, and I have the keys of death and of Hades.
Right.
So I enjoy that our Christ has passed through death, but he was not held by death.
Amen.
And he nullified death.
Yes.
And he was victorious.
Amen.
And he was victorious over the grave.
Yeah.
And he is the Christ, he is the living one who is walking in the midst of the golden lampstand. And I enjoy that there's this sentence that says, our Christ is living for the church.
Nice.
So what does that have to do with us? I just enjoy that. I'll just encourage that whatever we do, also related to the winter training message, message 11, our shepherding, even though we may suffer, even though we may feel like, oh, there's so much burden for us to shepherd one another, yet I am encouraged that our Christ is the first and the last.
Amen.
And he is the living one.
Amen.
And not only is he the life in us, but we need to receive him as a life supply.
Amen.
Amen. And I just amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Two more saints. Maybe if you haven't shared, it's your opportunity.
But also those who have shared. Zal and I will go together.
We got into this. You can share after me. I appreciated what was pointed out, that number one, we need to be clear that, like Paul said in Colossians 1:24, that we need to do our part, or we need to be filled up that which is lacking concerning the afflictions of Christ. So, as many of you, just the same, many times when sufferings come, we want to run away, or we want to think of a solution to get out of that situation. But actually, we need to realize that every situation, every person, every environment is arranged by the Lord. And I appreciate 2 Corinthians 4:17, that to see that the momentary lightness affliction, guess what? Works out for us. So that means the Lord uses all these afflictions to do something. What is he doing? He's working out something. He's working out an eternal weight of glory.
Amen.
And so we have to realize that in our spirit today, as we're going through all these different situations, Acts 2:24, that it was not possible for him to be held by it. So as we are in a we're experiencing death, we need to realize that there's an impossibility.
Amen.
In your spirit.
Amen.
It's impossible.
Amen.
For the Christ who has resurrected.
Amen.
To be held down.
Amen.
So we just need to turn to our spirit.
Yes.
If you feel you are dead, cry, Lord Jesus!
Amen.
When we come to the meetings, we shouldn't allow the meetings to be dead.
Right.
We need to deny ourselves.
Amen.
We need to turn to this one.
Amen.
Who has passed through.
Amen.
Death.
Amen.
He has the keys of death.
Amen.
And he has entered into resurrection.
Amen.
Because we need to see that eventually, that I really appreciate from these verses from this week, that Christ, he's the living one, right? He's the first and the last. He's the one who is living forever and ever.
Amen.
And guess what? The church. Right? And 1 Timothy 3:15, as a house of God, is what? Is the church of the living God.
Amen.
So the living one is being worked into us.
Amen.
Right? So that we could become the house of the living God.
Amen.
This is what Zhao and I enjoy together, and so he's going to take it from there.
Amen.
Slam dunk it. Pass the ball to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. Actually, I was just reading over the outline, and the point in day four really touched me. It says that for us to be living, we must have not only life, but life supply. As the living one, Christ cares for the churches by giving us himself, not only as life, but also as the life supply. That really touched me. And I think I'd just like to read over the passage in day four. Amen. It says, that the suffering church needs to know him as such a one so that she may endure all kinds of suffering. However severe the persecution may be, the church will still be alive, for the resurrection and life of Christ within her can endure death. The most that suffering or persecution can do is to kill us. Following the death from persecution, there is resurrection.
Amen.
The Lord was persecuted to death,
right,
but that death was not the end. It was the gateway into resurrection.
Amen.
And then he goes on saying, when he entered into death, he came to the threshold of resurrection. This indicates that the suffering church should not be frightened by persecution or terrified at the prospect of being killed. Rather, she must welcome death and be happy.
Yeah.
For once she has passed into death, she also will be on the threshold of resurrection.
Amen.
And then it says, whenever we are undergoing persecution, we must rise up and declare,
right,
Hallelujah, I am about to enter into the gateway of resurrection.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Have this resurrection life.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we want to enter in.
Amen.
Enter in.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
To come to you again and again.
Amen.
Keep our first love.
Amen.
Best and fresh love.
Amen.
Give us many opportunities.
Amen.
Experience you as a resurrection life.
Amen.
Look more of yourself into us.
Amen.
Because living as you are living.
Yes, want to be living as you are living.
Amen.
You that we have this resurrection life.
Amen.
This life that, Lord, this life that passed through death.
Amen.
Death cannot hold the resurrection life.
Amen.
This life to come to you again and again and again.
Amen.
The precious life in our spirit.
Amen.
Hush in our spirit.
Amen.
Let us come to you again and again.
Amen.
Oh, make us living.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Lord, you're the living one.
Amen.
Lord, you're the one who overcome death.
Amen.
Oh, you have resurrected.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we'd like to just turn to you.
Amen.
Lord, oh, I'd like to give this coming week to you.
Amen.
Lord, keep us turning.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Remember, we have cleaning.
Good. So, actually, why don't we come back around 12:45?
Amen.
Where is that?
Here.
Yeah.
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 I came downstairs and I looked at you guys and I was like, you're so good. Keep my mouth shut. I'll keep my mouth shut.
She's like a weasel.
She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She's a weasel. She